Now, when you say you put your name on things, do you mean on the books themselves?
No. Oh, no. but we would put our name on the data sheets, and we had to sign off the illustrations and that kind of thing. And, of course, see, Frieda, F-R-E-D-A, would look so much like Fred. But I remember one time some man called to ask for Mr. Campbell, and I said, well, this is Frieda Campbell, and could I help? He says, oh, if you're a woman, no. And then if in certain departments, if you'd call and they could tell you were a woman, I don't mean that they were mean to you or anything, but sometimes I remember calling and wanting something once, where if the fellas had called and asked for it, they would have given it to him right away. And she wanted to know why I wanted it. So I told her why I wanted it, and she sent it to me. The women were always cooperative. But, you know, you did run into some of that. But, you know, I just went ahead and tried to ignore it.
Now, at this point, you were going to L.A. State then?
Yes.
And how did you coordinate your life in terms of, you were taking night classes, you obviously had schoolwork.
Yeah.
You were working an eight-hour day. How did you coordinate things?
Well, now there again, about that time, a lot of times I didn't eat lunch with those girls. I did some of my homework on my lunch hour. And I always had my schoolwork there, but I did not work on it on company time because I knew if I did, just let anybody see me doing that, and you know. But I did, and sometimes I would get there early. See, I rode with some people off and on, and they often went on to a further building, so maybe I'd have 20 minutes or so in the morning. So sometimes that would give me time to fill out something or read another chapter or something. And then about that time I learned to drink coffee. Up to this time I had never drank coffee. But I used to drink coffee to keep awake in class at night, because see, we had to get up pretty early, and that's when I learned to read myself to sleep. I would read as long as I could stay awake, and you know now sometimes unless I'm just exhausted, I have to if I want to go to sleep, I just start reading the book. But that's how, and of course I did not have a house then. I lived in an apartment. And it wasn't until after I had finished and got my degree that I bought a house.
Now, how many classes would you take a semester?
I usually never took more than 6 units. Let's see, one time I think I did take 8. But I decided that these people that took so many usually neglected. Of course, some of them, they said they didn't care. If they got a C, that was it. But I found it was much easier if I just took 6 units. And that way I got pretty good grades. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when I graduated, they said possible honors. Well, the reason I had the average for the honors, but I had not taken enough courses at L.A. State. You had to take more than I had taken. But I thought, I was anxious to get that degree. I'm not going to go another year to take some more classes just so I can have honors. I had, I've forgotten now what the average is when it's about half A's and half B's, whatever it was. That's, I don't know, whatever it is, it qualifies for honors. It would have been if I had taken enough of the courses there.
Who were the other students in the night classes?
Mostly they were teachers, although not all, but there were a surprising number of men who were trying to be teachers. Then there were fellows studying police science. Sometimes they took courses. And once in a while you'd get people, they'd say, some of the day students would take night classes just to fill out their program. And then sometimes while they were a day student, maybe they worked so many hours during the day, and so they attended both day and night classes. A lot of them were teachers. See, they needed teachers out here. And all these women and some men were coming out from, you know, East and Midwest. And I remember some of them were a little upset that they said, well, I can't get that credential until I take California history. And particularly some of those courses that mm-hmm. California required that had not been required back there, those were the experienced teachers. I mean, some of them had maybe taught for quite a while, but they wanted to get their credential.
Now, what was your own thinking at that point? Because you'd finally been made analyst. Were you still keeping both options open, or were you...
Well, I was trying to get on salary at Lockheed then, because... things were picking up, see, and there were openings now. See, I got that degree in 55, and along about 54, I tried to get into another, to get a salary classification, but I remember the personnel man telling me that he sent me on an interview or two, but he said, I don't think they'll take a woman. And he, Fred Daly, he said he thought maybe that I did deserve it. But he said, you know, it had to be the department manager to decide. So I had kind of given up. And even at the time I got my degree, I still was not on salary. But I wanted to, I had the degree, but I didn't have quite everything for the credential. Some of the things that I needed for the credential I had taken to fill out for the degree. But I would have had to do that practice teaching, and that meant going on swing, and they just didn't have swing in our department. And I just didn't know whether I wanted to transfer to something else. I was afraid that I might not get as good and to do that practice teaching. Well, just about that time, now I started back, I had to take a few more units in English because it seemed like a good idea to have an English minor. Besides, I needed that to fill out those extra units, however many I had to have for the credential. About that time, our union came up with got the salary classification in our, for us, for the analysts. But they only had a few of them. They had just a few. And see, those analysts were like lead men. Now, they didn't say they were lead men. Oh, by then, I got made a lead man, too. And then they had these analysts. Then about less than a year later, they decided all those lead people should be salaried. And, oh, I know, when they made those senior analysts, they called them a senior analyst, and they made estimates, and they did this and that. And I remember going in to see the section supervisor and telling him that I would like to have one of those positions because I said, after all, I am the senior analyst in here. I mean, I've been in there longer than any of the men that had been there longer than I had, by then they were supervisors or something. And he said, well, you couldn't, he says, I can't tell those fellows they got a little girl for their boss. I said, well, I won't be their boss. I said, I'll just, look over the work and make the estimates. And I was already making estimates anyway. But I didn't get in on that first group. They only made about three. And then I think the department decided that if they didn't make more salaried analysts, they were going to have to make more supervisors. And now, I'm not sure I heard this, but they thought it was cheaper to make those analysts than to make a few more supervisors. Maybe that wasn't it at all. I don't know. You hear so much, so many opinions. And I've learned by now that unless you see it in black and white, you don't always know what the motive is. But anyway, now they were going to make some more senior analysts. Well, anyway, I called the union chairman again. And he called over and told the section supervisor that he would have to find a different reason than that not to make me one, that was no excuse at all. So the next time, they made all of us lead people senior analysts. So I was on salary again.
When was that happened?
Let's see, I got on salary in March of 57. Mm-hmm. I got my degree in 55, and I still, see, I went to school still that that next year, so that I was still taking units for the end of 56. But by then, I had they had made me a lead man, and you know, that's another thing these women squawk so about. It didn't bother me a bit that I was a lead man. I said, I don't care as long as they pay me. I don't care what they call me. And so then it began to look, see, but then they created this salary classification. And I thought, well, I have a good chance at that. Mm-hmm. And particularly after I'd talked with that union chairman, I was pretty sure I would mm-hmm. get it. And I thought, oh, but then, you know, I was getting up in years, and I thought, oh, why, you know, if I can get that, I got to checking into it. And for a beginning teacher at that time, because I had the schedule from L.A., actually, except that I didn't get as long vacations as the teachers, the pay was about comparable, and we got our free group insurance mm-hmm. and all that. And I was there, and I, you know, I knew the work. Of course, you kept working into new things. But I thought, oh, why, I would have had to go on swing for that practice teaching. And am I glad now I didn't, because I would have probably ended up.
Now, Frida, during, when once you became a lead,
yeah.
how many people were you over?
Well, on paper, over 18. But really, most of those fellows really reported to this other senior analyst, and I think I only had about six or eight.
What was their attitude towards you?
Well, I don't know. You never really know, but they, once in a while, from one fellow that I may do some work over, I detected some hostility, but the fellows that he had worked with before said he didn't know what he did, you know. And so I think, though, another thing, sometimes those fellows wouldn't make him do the work over. But I thought those things would be right. And I tried to check. And if it was wrong, I gave it back and had him do it over. And I'm sure that some of them didn't like the idea too much. But some of them didn't seem mm-hmm. to mind. And the younger fellows didn't seem to mind. See, by then, many of them had mothers that were working. And so they didn't think mm-hmm. so much about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose some of the older fellows resented it. Now, one of the women that I had known for a long time said to me, she said, well, I walked out with Harry the other night. And I asked him how he liked having a woman for, I'd forgotten if I was lead then or just, or had become a salary. And she said, he said, well, I'll say one thing, she's fair to all of us. And so I figured that as long as I was fair and did a good job, mm-hmm. and that's the best I could do. I'm sure some of them must have resented it, but if they did, they didn't. Very few have ever showed it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was one fella, he would spread out his prints and see, I would have to help him find some of these things. And I think he deliberately smoked that cigar, but I thought, well, all right, if he's going to smoke it, I'll just deliberately show him that it doesn't faze me. But see, I've been raised with four brothers, and so I didn't complain. But then our supervisor, see, even after we were salaried analysts, we had a supervisor. But the supervisor didn't like that, and he didn't think it was right. But he came home and told that fellow to quit smoking the cigar. But I made up my mind I wasn't going to tell him, because I knew right away he'd said, well, if it was a man, he wouldn't care. So I thought, well. And I remember one time, this was after I was on salary, a day or two before Christmas, the supervisor took the secretaries out to lunch. Well, I was the only woman besides those secretaries. And then that afternoon, this J.C., the one that, you know, had really wanted me to be on salary, said, sort of apologized. He said, well, Frida, he said, see, they said they were taking the girls out. He said, I kind of forgot about you being one of the girls, I always think of you as being one of the fellows. I said, oh, J.C., for the difference in pay, I'll be one of the boys. I didn't care. I didn't want to go to lunch with him anyway.
So it sounds as if there was a constant awareness on your part of your position because you were a woman in this situation.
Well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, by then we were broken up more in departments. And, you know, for a while I was the only salaried woman in the department. Now, not in the division. There were other salaried women right there in the building. But at one time, I believe this was in 61, there were only about 5 salaried women in that whole building. And then when they got the build-up for the Germans, then we got more salaried women in there. They came in from the departments. But for a long time, I think there were only 5 or 6 of us, and I was the only one in the department. So, of course, and when you're on salary, you got an oval badge. Well, I tried never to flaunt my oval badge, and as soon as I'd get out of the building at night, I'd take it off and put it in, you're supposed to wear it on Lockheed property. As soon as I got off, I'd take it out. Of course, some of them, you know, they like to wear them all over the place. I tried never to flaunt that because I knew that probably some of the women were a little jealous. After I found out later, one of the supervisors that I had known him when neither one of us were on salary said that right away some of the women had come in and complained, well, if Frida's on salary, why can't it? And he said they told her that said, well, my goodness, look, she's gone to night school and she's got a degree and all that. So I would say that that the degree did help. And I remember when I got my degree and my supervisor had decided then to go back and finish college. And he graduated from Valley City College the same year. And we, of course, got that put on our personnel record. That the department manager called us down and had a nice little talk. And so I liked that department manager. He was, of course, he'd been with the company a long time, a very long
time. It sounds as if they were using that as a justification for your promotion, where I'm sure with men that was not the case.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But that was one thing that they could tell these other women. And whether that, but even then, there weren't very many women. There were only one or two others in there that hadn't, that weren't clerks.
Mm-hmm.
See, the, mostly, a lot of those women didn't care for those technical classifications. They wanted them, but when they found out the realities, the blueprint scared them. And I remember this one woman saying to me once, now that was when I was a parts sister, this had been years before, she said she wished she had the confidence mm-hmm. that I had, because she was forever asking me questions. And I found out another thing, that some of those men and some of those women, either they didn't have the confidence, or as children growing up, they had never been taught to make decisions. As a matter of fact, there was one man under me for a long time, and I finally, when they started putting more on salary, I kept telling the boss he should be on salary. He was very good. Technically, he knew much more than I did, but he couldn't make a decision. And as I got to know him, I could tell that growing up, his mother made the decisions. And one of his supervisors said to me once, said, this was after he there'd been a split, and he said, that guy knows more about that ship than I do. But he just couldn't make a decision. He was never sure of himself, mm-hmm. or he seemed to always be afraid that someone would tell him that that was mm-hmm. wrong.
So it seemed to be an issue of both of confidence and of accepting and assuming responsibility.
I think that was part of it. And I will say this now, in all fairness, that some of those women didn't want to assume responsibility. Some of them did.
Do you think that there was a difference between you as a single woman and some of these other women? Were they also single women, or were they married?
Some of them were. There were many of them that were divorced and making mm-hmm. their own living. There were many of them that were married, but that didn't seem to make too much difference because a lot of the married women had good jobs, and a lot of them seemed to have a lot of confidence, so I don't think that was it, although there were some married women working there that were not ambitious. They just, you know, this was their job, and they were glad to be a clerk. But like I say, some of them aspired to these jobs that paid more, but when they found out the realities of some of the responsibilities, some of them were not willing to assume them.
Now, that reminds me in terms of, because you had clearly for many, many years looked, had been ambitious, had balanced, you know, deciding where you were going to be best off, and should you continue at Lockheed, and could you progress there, or should you go into teaching. At some point, had you decided that you were not going to marry?
I didn't decide I wasn't going to marry. It was just that by that time, the ones I had a chance to marry, I didn't care to marry. And I think you do get much more, you look at things much more practical as you do. And so, but I still dated from time to time, even, and I would say, although this isn't part of this, I think some women get in too big a hurry to get married, and I think there can be worse things than not being married. but I don't think that I have nothing against men. As a matter of fact, I date some yet, and but I didn't care. Well, I just decided against the chances I had. Now, of course, a lot of women say they had plenty of chances. I don't say I had plenty of chances. I had a few.
Now, and was your social life, say, up in this period as you were becoming salaried and moving on up, had your social life changed at all in terms of who your friends were?
Well, by then I had a lot of, I had met a lot of women that were teaching, you know, down at the church, a lot of teachers down there. And they were the ones that, of course, kept trying to encourage me to go ahead with that. No, I don't think that my social life had changed too much. It always was, all those years I was going to night school, it was limited more than some because, you know, you if you're in school three nights a week, why, you're not out on dates. And you can't... I will say that I gave up. There were times that I could have gone, you know, places, but I wanted to get those courses in. So.
And your friends, your social life revolved primarily around the church group rather than work or school.
Well, I kept up with both to a degree. A lot around the church because. We had a group at the church that did a lot of things, and they were both single and married in that, and we had nice parties, and we went places and all, but it wasn't solely that. Now, they used to have management club meetings, and one year, sometimes I can't remember what the classifications are. I'll call him our big show. He was head of programs, I think. So he wanted as many as possible in the department to go. And so even though we were not management, as we were still ESG, we were salaried. So we paid for our own ticket, but we went as guests of our boss. See, I mean, but he was encouraged to get us to go, and the programs were interesting usually. And of course, they always gave away a prize. I never won one, but you know, it was a raffle, and so we had some things like that. And of course, very often some of those things it meant. There were times that I didn't go because, you know, so many of those fellows were married, and I remember, under the ES, now see, we started out as the Engineers and Architects Association. Then we became the Engineers and Scientists Guild. Anyway, they used to have bean dinners, and there was one of the engineers whose father owned a restaurant over on Fairfax, and Stan Beecher, he used to cook the beans, and it seemed like we got beans and a wiener. Anyway, we got the best dinner, and all the coffee you could drink, or at first they even furnished beer. Then as beer got higher, of course, I didn't care for beer, but I know we'd get those dinners. We'd go right after work, and they'd always have somebody that was a good speaker, and of course, sometimes I drove my own car, but sometimes I was riding with a fellow that belonged to that, and we'd go right on. We used to go to those bean dinners. They used to have those spot once a month. I enjoyed those, and Stan really cooked those.
Now, were there other women in that union then?
Yes, there were other women, but not very many. Mm-hmm. And most of the women that came to those bean dinners, I say most, were wives of fellows, and I met several of the fellows' wives, sometimes, because they could bring a guest to the bean dinner. But I can remember going to union meetings, particularly when they were getting ready to go into negotiations, when maybe there'd be only two or three other women there. Because I remember once the speaker got up and said, gentlemen, then he said, ladies and gentlemen. He looked around, saw there were, usually there weren't more than five women there, and most of them were engineers.
So you were one of the few non-engineers who was in this kind of classification.
Yeah, that belonged to that union. One of the few. There were some others, but when I first joined, it seemed to me like there weren't any other women except engineers. Mm-hmm. Of course, maybe that isn't fair to say because maybe they just didn't come to the meeting, but there weren't very many. There really weren't very many